The ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, the most anticipated festival in the region, will once again excite audiences with nearly 650 performances September 9th through the 20th. From comedy, dance, and theater to jaw-dropping spectacles across 39 venues all around Rochester. Don't miss amazing performances in the Spiegel Tent, including the world premiere of Cirque du Fringe Claws Out, Shot Sphere, Kids Fringe, and more. And direct from Italy, Sphere, a mind-blowing outdoor spectacle, free at Parcel 5, September 19th and 20th. RochesterFringe.com.
Let's take a minute to talk about Joe Bean Coffee, my go-to for great beans here in Rochester. I'm Chris Lindstrom, host of the Food About Town podcast and co-founder of Lunchador, and I regularly brew their coffee at home. A recent favorite of mine is the natural process Colombian Finca Buena Vista coffee from Edwin Zambrano. This coffee won a 2024 Good Food Award, and I can't help but agree with that assessment. My brews have been full with fruity flavors of pineapple, strawberry, and orange, and each cup has brightened my morning. Next time you need some beans, head over to Joe Bean's Roastery at 565 Blossom Road in Rochester, or shop online at joebeanroasters.com. For our loyal listeners, save 15% off your next order at joebeanroasters.com with code LUNCHADOR. You can also subscribe to Joe Bean's Perpetual Joy and receive freshly roasted beans on your schedule, and never be without great coffee again. Joe Bean is more than just coffee. It's a community, a commitment, and a cup full of care. That music means it's time for another episode of Just Can't Not. I'm your host, Chris Lindstrom. This is part of our series of preview podcasts for the ESL Rochester Fringe Festival, happening September 9th to 20th in scenic downtown Rochester, New York. Go to rochesterfringe.com to find all of the events, get tickets ahead of time. It really means a lot to the venues and to the events. Also get the app so you can find stuff on the fly when you're bouncing around. This is new this year. Great addition. I'm here with a cup of Joe Bean Roasters coffee, and I'm ready for another interview. Guest, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hello, I am Corinne Yancone, and I am a fine artist here in Rochester and the director of The Painter.
Yeah, so The Painter is happening on Friday, September 12th at 6 p.m., Sunday the 14th at 2 p.m., and Friday the 19th at 6 p.m. You can get tickets on rochesterfringe.com. This will be happening at the School of the Arts at the Main Stage Theater, and tickets are $24. You know, get them ahead of time. This seems like a fascinating, like, confluence of lots of different artistic expression. Can you describe how you would describe it?
Yes. So The Painter is a multidisciplinary performance, and it derived originally from the founding building blocks of just my artistry in general. So I realized this is like my fifth year doing The Painter, and each year we create a new show. And like the first year, this concept derived from me just like becoming an artist. It was my realization of being a painter and coming into my own and wanting to spread the word and inspire other artists and creatives to, you know, follow their dreams. And throughout my journey of being the painter, I've hit many milestones. I've got married. I had kids. My father actually unfortunately passed 5 years ago. So things have been four years ago. Oh my God, I'm in a time warp, literally. But so things have definitely been crazy in my life. And so this year, The Painter is about just like the story of my life, of becoming the painter rather than just like my realization of becoming an artist. So so this year's performance is really insane. I do live painting. I'm actually going to be painting furniture this year, which is kind of cool.
Neat.
Along with canvases. And that's something that I haven't really shared. So I talk a lot on my Instagram, Corinne, it's at Corinne.Yancone. And I haven't shared that with my audience yet that I will be painting furniture. So that's a little bit of a surprise. But yeah, I want it to feel very like homey. But if you want me to like tell the whole story, I totally can.
No.
I could go on and on about it.
No, I'm kind of, so there was a couple things you brought up that I kind of want to pivot on to. So So first, I want to finish out with the show because the description on the website says, you know, this is also bringing in dancing and interpretation. And it seems like you're almost just walking into like the mind of an artist. It's like there is a performance, but you're almost just existing within the creative process that is things bouncing around and your mind never stopping. It seems like that's the whole idea, is like you're almost just walking into this. That's a continuous thing.
Yes, it is. So the Painter is comprised of 17 songs this year. And I choreograph all of these pieces. I've had dancers all over Rochester try out for this show. And this year I have accepted 43 dancers from ages 9 to 21. So it's been really neat. It's really cool opportunities for dancers, a really cool opportunity for dancers to grow.
Yeah.
And just like learn more. There's like, it's very fast paced, so much choreo, so much to learn from other dancers. So it's a really neat experience for them as well as myself. Very challenging. But yeah, so they're interpreting the story with their bodies, along with myself. So I teach dance, but I also am a dancer. So this is a fun opportunity for me to showcase that side of myself. And the performance just like stretches your creativity. So it's not only with the body, but also with the mind. You're watching all of these visuals with paint. Yeah, I would say that every creative sensory aspect is being filled in this case. And yeah, I'm just really lucky to have just discovered this type of creativity and be able to showcase it.
Yeah, I mean, also with doing three shows, I'm kind of intrigued. So would you, because the painting, like, you're not doing the same painting every time. So...
Yeah. So the cool part about it being live is that nothing is ever exactly the same.
Yeah.
But I do have like a process of the way that I do things. Like I will be painting a few canvases throughout. No, they will not look exactly the same, but they'll have the same idea.
Yeah.
And I just think that's the beauty of having three performances too. Like everything can just only get better. And once we like sink our teeth into just being at School of the Arts, it feels like home. Like I just love doing that type of performance, and like the kids love it too. We have a lot of competitive dancers, so these guys are really, really good. They're not just your average dancer. Like they are very talented. They're doing backflips and splits and turns, and it's wild.
Yeah, I think as my dad would say, I could do it once and then I might never walk again, and that's okay.
Yeah.
So I did want to pivot back to something you mentioned during your initial description was you were talking about this journey to you being an artist. I kind of want to go back to before that. It's something we've talked about a lot on one of our podcasts on the network, Behind the Glass, which they run a gallery downtown at the Mercantile on Main, and basically each month they have three underrepresented visual artists, most of which have never been on a gallery wall before.
Yeah.
And a lot of them go through the process during that and after and being part of the community, where some of them will start to reconcile with the fact that they're thinking of themselves as an artist for the first time, instead of just somebody who takes pictures or somebody who does this. You mentioned you were like going through this process of being an artist, but when did you consider yourself an artist for the first time?
I think, I got my DBA, and I think that putting that on paper really solidified it for me. Where it was like in writing, but I think there's something about actually talking about it and putting yourself out there that feels real. And I think that, when did I do that? 2015. So like I was young. And I think that just doing, and business wasn't like natural for me, like marketing as an artist, I would consider like, it wasn't one of my strengths. Now I love it. I love talking about it. And I realize that's my only way to like, obviously communicate what I do, but, it's very uncomfortable. And I think that as a young creator, you're looked down upon, from just society standards, right? So people were like, oh, what else do you do? Is this the only thing that you do? That was like a common thing. And I still get it to this day. I'm actually a live wedding painter and people are like, oh, do you do this all the time? And it's like, yes, this is my full-time job. Like nobody could believe that like I was just trying to make it as an artist. And
that's also cool process, by the way, too. I did not to interrupt, but like that wedding painting thing is such a fascinating concept that one, it exists, and two, that people can do that on the fly during a wedding is just like beyond me that something can exist like that. Although to be fair, like my wife decided it was hobby season and she's like, all right, well, I guess I'm just going to create a masquerade style mask today of something. Like, all right, fine, sure, great. That's obviously something that would happen in your mind. No, because I love that you meant, the reason why I kind of wanted to interrupt was to go back to like when you got the DBA. I kind of like that as an inflection point because there's a purposefulness to that. There's a decision. There's an intentionality to saying, I am taking this seriously, even though the process might be fun and it might be creative, but there's this choice where you have to say, yes, this is either a passionate hobby or here's where I'm saying this is the inflection point where this is a business. I kind of find it fascinating that that was the thing that said, hey, I'm now an artist. While a lot of people, that is not that, you know, turning into a business is the thing that can poison the choice of being an artist and the passionate thing. I find it's always interesting to see how people decide what that timing is, where they consider themselves that.
100%. And I think that, I mean, it wasn't just like the DBA, I would say, was like the bare bones, like starting point of it. Because at that point, I wasn't really making money to sustain myself. Like I was still living with my parents. Like there was still a lot of, like I got very lucky that I had a family to like support me during that time. But as I grew up, like, I'm trying to think, I was doing like art shows and things like that, trying to get my word out. And I realized that like, that wasn't really my price point. Like those weren't my people, but I got a lot of like feedback and met a lot of cool people that helped me through to get to where I am. So like at one of my shows, I was doing it at the Inn on Broadway. And I had like during Jazz Festival, I wanted to kind of, again, with the creativity of like music and all those things, art kind of like falls into that category. So at the Inn, I had set up my own tent with my artwork. I had t-shirts with my artwork on it. I was doing live paintings there because I had met an artist from Montreal. His name's Eric Waugh, who was, I don't know if he was doing like some type of artist in residency at the time, or he was painting somebody live during Jazz Festival. And he was staying at the Inn and he saw me and was inquiring about my work. And I had one of my pieces, like priced super high, like it had to be like $2,500. And at that point, like I wasn't selling art at that point, but it was my first oil painting. And I knew that I needed to value my work, you know, in order to be taken seriously. So he was like, oh, like immediately caught his eye, started a conversation. And he kind of took me under his wing for a few years. And while he was living in Montreal, we would do phone calls back and forth. And he was talking about this neat opportunity that he had about painting live on a cruise ship. And so that got me into live paintings, and he kind of forced me into this impressionism box, which was really important for me because I was one of those people that would like sit at the art table for like hours on my easel. Oh my gosh. And I would like overthink everything until it was literally perfect. But he challenged me to, you know, have more creative strokes, like making my strokes more deliberate rather than like refining the heck out of them. So he kind of got me into impressionism, and that led into live painting with like just making your expression like final and like making decisions faster. So I ended up getting this neat opportunity to live paint on a cruise ship in Europe for a month, and that got me really comfortable in this live painting era. And I think that when I did that, that was also another, that was like my leg to stand on at that point. I was like, here is my credibility. But prior to all of that, I remember doing a lot of manifesting. Like he had me, you know, and at that point I did a lot of just like free work where I would contact breweries. What brewery would I go to? Rock Brewing before it closed. I was doing like every Friday, I was going there to live paint for free just for entertainment and experience. Yeah. I did like galleries at like certain breweries, like Three Brothers wineries. I would go out there and do some stuff. Just for like entertainment exposure. And what's the moral of my story? Circling back, hold on. So I was doing live paint. Oh, I was doing a lot of manifesting. And I remember telling my parents and my husband, not at the time, my boyfriend. And I was like, one day I will get paid to live paint. And like, that's just it. And I manifested it. And I am living proof of that. So I think that when that manifestation came to fruition, I was like, this is it. Like, I'm an artist and I wanted to be able to inspire people. And that's when the painter came to be. It was right after the cruise ship. Cause I was like, this is something that I need to do.
Yeah. Well, and I also love like, and I love those different ways of describing, you know, that journey. Right. Cause when I hear that, I hear just like, oh, you did all the work. You turned it into like, hey, you practiced, you went, you did it professionally, you did it for free. You just did the work and you did all the learning to get there. And then when the opening happened, you're ready for it, because this is like, that's to me, I love the work, right? I love learning. Mm-hmm. I love that process of getting really good at something. It's a fascinating process. And I think one of the things I did want to go back to briefly was when you mentioned that you're not trying to make it perfect. And the thing that came to mind is like at a wedding, if you handed them almost a photorealistic painting that was perfect, they wouldn't love it as much as the one that feels more real. Because real isn't perfection. Real isn't a photograph. Real is their feelings of that thing. And it's almost impossible to do that with the perfection of the art, because exactly. Perfection isn't the goal. Perfection is, it can be the goal, but the result right. is supposed to delight them. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, that's a really good point.
It's a whole like different path.
Yeah, it's funny because I have that mentality as well, where I was trying to make everything perfect, and then especially when it relates to a wedding, like they're hiring a photographer. Like if they wanted that exact photo, like that's the photo that your photographer is going to take. Like the live painting energy of a live painting, I always say that it's the energy of the day. And I love making them, I love creating the likeness of the couple. And that's probably one of the reasons that I didn't get into live wedding painting originally, because of that pressure. I was like, oh my gosh, like I don't think I want that pressure on myself. So I actually, when I first started getting into live painting, I wouldn't do faces. I would just, it was extremely impressionistic. I'm talking like the shape of the face, that was it. And then the more confident I got, the more realistic the faces would become. So what I do is I actually just create the couple. I'm like looking at one of my paintings right now as I'm describing it, but I create the likeness of the couple, like very detailed. And then everything else feels like impressionism. So your eye immediately goes into center. But yeah, it was definitely one of those things where I constantly am pulling myself back into that realm. I'm like, it doesn't have to be perfect. It's the energy of the day. It's my personality as well, right? Like that's why somebody would hire me, because they love the way that I'm expressing the day. Because there are a few live painters out there in Rochester that are also popular. But yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
So, I mean, let's kind of dive in. So all the different things that you currently do. So you're doing wedding painting, you know, live painting experiences. You're doing the theater performances, obviously, you know, theater style performances for this. What are the other things that you pursue as a creative professional?
Well, I grew up dancing, so that's just one part of me that I feel like I can't let go. Like that has become a part of my soul. So I started teaching at 18 and I'm still doing it. And it's so cool because that is another way to stretch my creativity. I'm a mom. I don't know if, I mean, you got to be creative being a mom, but oh, that's 100%. my new endeavor in these past couple of years.
Yeah.
Then what else am I doing? I also do like commissions for my business, but that's something I'm actually phasing out of. I'm realizing that like I'm piling this creativity on and I'm trying to like live my life as if I haven't had kids. So I'm actually in the process of trying to refine all of the things that I do. But
I think that's I going think that's into also, next year. Yeah,
live painting is going to be like my standalone thing that I'm doing along with dance. But so
yeah, well, I think it's also it is one of the harder things to do is when you're going through the experience of the grind of getting really good at the things that you care about is there's a lot of yes. And then learning how to pare down is a real mind shift that is, I'm still struggling with it. You know, how to say no to things. I'm really, really bad at that because your mind's saying, yeah, I can definitely do that. And you can.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But can, should, and being able to maintain yourself at the same time and not feel like you're neglecting the other parts of your life. Because I mean, like every day I feel like I'm failing at balance and life in general because Chris, the yes is so important. Like the yes feels like it's like if I said no, it feels like I'm fundamentally failing. And then by saying yes, I'm also failing. Like
failing. Yeah.
I'm failing myself, like my wife, like and like being a decent person. And it's like it's nearly impossible, yeah. But it's the. I think that's why it's great to have won the conversations and also great to have people around you that have lived it, that have done these things and, you know, learned some of those spots.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I'm so glad you said that because I could not have verbalized that better. That is exactly what I'm going through right now.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing like so many good things. And with Fringe, I love this Fringe community. It, oh my gosh. Rochester Fringe and the Painter School of the Arts. I love being a part of this circle. And I'm also in the process of like, this is so much
yeah,
and that I need to start saying no to things. But like, man, it is so good for the soul. So I think finding that balance, I do need to learn how to say no to certain things. And I do have to kind of like go back in my business. Oh, speaking of, I'm doing I just finished a rebrand of my business.
Oh, awesome.
Sorry. Yeah. So there's another little creative thing in there. I totally overbooked my summer. I'm a crazy person.
Yeah. So what's the rebrand? How are you now found?
Yeah. So, my new website is CorinneYonCohn.com, which is crazy. Yeah, so I just transitioned from Calf Creations to CorinneYonCohn, which is my name. So obviously, Calf Creations started in 2015 when I was, 21, 22? And that was the old version of me before I got married, before I experienced grief, before I had kids. So there, you know, I'm different, but I'm the same.
Yeah.
But definitely I'm showing up differently. And I think that that is important to reflect in my brand. And I just feel so much more aligned than I ever did. So it was important for me to have my brand reflect that on my website. So,
yeah. I think that's also like, and I'm going to use, it's a very blunt way of saying like that's the journey to being a whole ass adult, right?
Yep.
Like there's ups and downs and they're not soft ups and downs sometimes. And it's like that. That's the journey of saying, hey, you know, the moniker isn't the thing. Like, yeah, I'm a whole ass person. Like this is me now. There's no time for the rest of it. There's the veneer is
exactly.
The veneer is weak. Like the strength underneath is what matters.
Exactly. And I think that's why the Painter is so cool because it has told this story that has just gotten so much deeper over the years. And it's just insane. Like I could get emotional thinking about it. I was describing the Painter in a few of my reels. I did like a series of three reels and I like just started crying because like really thinking about how deep this is and how I'm able to express such a big thing that like isn't seen. This is all inside my mind and my heart and being able to express all of that in this grand performance for more than 500 people to see is just mind-blowing and so beautiful. So,
oh, well, if you want to see something mind-blowing and internally and externally beautiful, you should go see the Painter on Friday, September the 12th at 6, Sunday the 14th at 2, or Friday the 19th at 6. It's at School of the Arts. You can get your tickets at rochesterfringe.com. Corinne, anything else before we close out?
No, I'm just super excited to show this mind-blowing, multidisciplinary, colorful piece. And just very thankful for everybody's support. Everyone has been amazing. Oh my gosh, I'm going to be on the news on Good Day Rochester on Tuesday morning.
Awesome.
We're going to interview at 6 o'clock. Yeah. So.
Oh, it's a perfect time in the morning to get interviewed.
Oh, yeah. Bright and early.
Oh, well, good luck. You know, bring the big energy. Everybody always loves seeing that first thing in the morning.
Yes.
So again, thank you for stopping by. Also check out the Lunch at Or event on September the 13th at 3 o'clock at the Bausch & Lomb building in the downtown branch of the public library. We have a fun event that's going to be very improv-y, just ranking and being chaotic amongst all of our hosts. We're going to have a great time. So Corinne, thank you so much for stopping by, and we'll be back next time with more. Just can't not.
Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the Lunch at Or Podcast Network.
The Level Up Coffee Podcast is now dialed in.
We love coffee and stay connected to every development in the industry, both here in Rochester and worldwide, to bring you our unique perspective on the ever-changing world of coffee.
We're doing regular tastings, reporting on our travels, and trying to hold back tirades about the forces that make the coffee supply chain a neo-colonial mess. Join us on the Lunch at Or Podcast Network and wherever you get your podcasts, and stay
dialed in.
Hello, hello, folks. My name is Magnus. I am a host of The Mind of Magnus. It's a podcast where I focus on expanding my brain and bringing some awesome people along the way to help expand your brain. So I have some new seasons and some awesome new guests coming up this year. So join me. Send me some factoids if you have your own. I even have a call-in line. So check it out. Find me at mindofmagnus.com, wherever you get your Lunch at Or Podcast Network, which is everywhere.